Thank you, Pastor Christy. Well, good morning again. I get the privilege of bringing the word today, and Pastor David is in Korea, if you've seen his social media, and he flew out on Thursday, and he's been posting some pictures, so I encourage you guys to check that out. He's at a prayer conference. Now, this is dangerous, church, because out of all the nationalities in the world, Koreans know how to pray. And the movement that they have done in the past several decades is phenomenal to see what many of them are doing. And when I've traveled around the world and I go to different conferences, I'm telling you, the Koreans are the first ones at the front pressing in for God and wanting more of God. So we got to be careful as Pastor David comes back, because I have no idea what he's coming back with for us as a community. But there's going to be something and a call and a response that I'm so excited for, right? And so let's be praying and agreeing with Pastor David as he goes and he personally gets filled up, as well as he comes and brings something back for us as a church community. And so we're in this series right now called Invite, and I get the privilege of bringing the third and last message within this series. And I'm excited about the upcoming weeks, because in September is traditionally when we relaunch a lot of our fall programming. So Greenhouse will start up again. We'll have Wednesday night classes. A lot of our small groups that may have been kind of on hiatus during the summer will get kicked back and going. And so you could be looking forward to that in upcoming weeks. But also next Sunday, our youth are leading our service. And so I'm so excited about this, because as you know, we are a church that believes in the next generation, that our ceiling would be their floor. And we have opportunities to empower and equip our children over in the children's building. And Lazarus and Emily and their team do a great job of teaching and equipping the youth on a Sunday morning, but we want all generations to be involved in our process of our worship. And so they're going to be participating in a more advanced role next Sunday, and Lazarus will be bringing the word to us, and then the youth will be ministering to us next Sunday. And so I really want to encourage you guys not only to come, but invite your friends, invite your family to come and be a part of that. Then on September 8th, we have a guest speaker named Mike Hutchings, and he is the director of the Global School of Supernatural Ministry based out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, which is my alma mater, and where our beloved Takara Williams is actually a second-year student this year. And Mike has a specific, unique grace of healing of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as for stress and anxiety. And I know at many, because I'm a pastor, we counsel a lot of people in this room and outside this room that struggle with these things. And so we would encourage you to come and be a part of the Sunday morning service. We'll also have a Sunday evening service for prayer, an extended time of prayer for healing and ministry. And so we're really excited about him being able to come and impart to our church family, as well as to build a new, fresh relationship with someone new. And so I encourage you to come and bring your friends and invite your friends. And then on the 15th, Pastor Dave will be starting a brand new sermon series. And we also will be going back to two services. Okay, so you want to make sure to put that in your calendar. Why? Because as we invite new friends, we won't have enough room. I'd rather be in a room with people lined along the walls than having two seats that are empty in front of the next person that's sitting next to me, because I want hunger. I want thirst. I want to be around a community of people that want more of God, that are hungering for more of his presence, that are saying, I need more of Jesus in my life. And when there is that hunger and that thirst, people are attracted to that and they want to come. And that's why it's challenging, I think, sometimes for us as we invite new people, is because we are a church that hungers for more, and we like to be uncomfortable and where we're at in our walk with God, because if we're uncomfortable, that means we're moving heaven and earth realm, because if there is comfortability, we're not having tension in our lives, and if there's tension in our lives, it means that we're moving mountains. You cannot move mountains unless you have tension in your life. Hey, I'm preaching today. It's not Pastor David. I get to do this. This is my style, my way of preaching, all right? So why? Because I live this my own life, right? We've had some circumstances in our life this past week that it has been incredibly challenging. Family circumstances. Elizabeth and I last week had to leave our kids behind for 2 days to go love on extended family because of an emergency that happened in our lives. You know how challenging that is as a parent to leave your kids behind, leave in the middle of the night because there's an emergency situation? And so we are, as leaders in our lives, are not saying that we're all peachy. We have to lean into faith every single day of our lives, because as a community of God, we are called to do things that no one else has done, and we are called to be a church that there's no other model out there for us to follow. We paved the way as a church in this community to see things that's never been done before on earth. That's who we are as a garden. That's how we lead. That's how we do life here at the church. And so as Pastor David has communicated in this series is that Jesus in John chapter 1 really communicated to his disciples. He invited them. Say invited. Say invited again. Say it one more time. Invited. He invited certain individuals to come and be a part of his life. He didn't tell them how to do things yet. He just said, hey, come do what? Follow me. That's what discipleship is. All it is say, come and follow me and watch, right? You don't necessarily have to participate yet. Obviously, he invited them into a participation and a leadership development, but at first, he just invited them out of relationship to come and be a part of his life. Come and see a different perspective and worldview of how to do life on earth as it is in heaven. And so he specifically invited family. Then he talked about how to invite friends. You saw Nathaniel, Andrew, he said, come and see. Say, come and see. Say it again, come and see. Say it again, come and see. That's all you have to do is someone that's in your life, an unchurched individual, someone who doesn't know Jesus, and say, hey, you know what? We have this guest speaker is coming on the 8th. Our youth is going to be ministering. Just come and see. I'll meet you outside the doors. We'll go grab coffee. I'll buy you lunch afterwards. It doesn't have to be this, hey, you're going to come to church because if you're not, God's going to smite you. Obviously, we don't believe that, by the way, if you're newer. We believe in a total, unconditional, loving Father who has grace and love and compassion, and he's desperately in love with the world, right? All right? But we sometimes have that mindset and that fear of what will happen if they don't show up. Listen, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to invite them. That's our responsibility, is to invite them. It's not to get them there, it's invite them. Did you know statistically it takes someone 7 times to accept an invitation? 7 tries. Sometimes we give up on the first try, right? Oh, well, they're not interested because they didn't show up the first time. Life happens. Circumstances happen. They might have fears, insecurities. Invite them again. Invite them again. We're called as a beloved of God to pursue the lost sons and daughters of God. That's our pre-believers, pre-Christians. They're not lost. They're waiting to be found. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to hear. We need to be reminded. This is what the community of God is about. And so as we look at bringing the new wine, we're going to look at this passage in Scripture. It's actually Jesus' first miracle, and we're then going to have a couple of our leaders in our church family and how they're not just inviting people to come to church on Sunday, they're actually going out into the community and inviting people into relationship, okay? Because some people, as you know, they're not ready for Sunday morning, especially us as a church family, right? Our music may be a little bit too loud. Our preachers are not tall enough, whatever those excuses are, okay? They just need a meal, right? They need coffee. They need to come over to your house. They need a ride to the grocery store, all right? Yes, Ollie, that was for you for my height thing, by the way. So we need to understand this, that people are just looking just to hang out and be with someone who has a lifestyle that's different than theirs. You don't have to preach Jesus at them. You just love them. That's our responsibility, is just to love people. So we're going to look at this passage here, and I want us to look at it from a perspective in which our focus can be about going out into our community. So let's read this together in John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding. Say a wedding. Now notice this isn't a church service. It's not the synagogue, right? It's not Sunday morning, Saturday morning. It's a wedding. It took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. So you gotta love it when mama gets involved, right? All right? And Jesus and his disciples had also been what? Invited, right? Who doesn't want Jesus to be at their wedding? Except they didn't know who he was yet because he hadn't done any miracles yet. So he's still just, you know, homeboy Jesus, all right? All right? So he hasn't done anything yet. They don't know who he is, all right? And so there's a beverage crisis. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. How many of you have had a party where that's an issue? You don't raise your hand. Okay, but, all right, just. I love how Jesus' response to him, woman, not mama, not mother, oh mother, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. He's like, hey, chill out, mama. I know you got 30 years of pregnancy of revival inside of you, but it's not my time yet. Why? Because she had an angelic visitation that said, this, your son, will be the person who saves the world, and she's been waiting 30 years for him to bust out his glory. She's pregnant with revival and faith, right? And she sees an opportunity for people to experience the life of God. And so she's like, hey, hey, is this a time? Is this a time? Is this a time? And he's like, not yet. Down. Bubba. Okay? All right? His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. You gotta think about it. Jesus, like, Mom, you know, it's not my time yet. Yet she says, looks at the servant and says, hey, do whatever he tells you. Then it says this, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So there's about 180 gallons that these stone jars could fill up. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. He didn't tell them what he was going to do yet. He just said, go fill them with water. Can you imagine how hard it is to carry 20 to 30 gallons of water? Was it a one-person job? No, it's several people. It was hard work. And water, you had to go find the water first, fill it up, and then bring it back. All right? So this took some time. And then they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Can you imagine what those servants would have been thinking in their mindset? They're tired, right? Their energy is depleted. And now Jesus is not doing the miracle. He tells them, hey, you go serve the master some water. Okay? And so this is the beauty about Jesus, all right? They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been churned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. Sounds like wisdom to me. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first, say first, first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. He took who he was into an unchurched environment and released his glory for all to see, to actually bless the bride and the bridegroom who could have been humiliated because of they didn't have enough wine, and blessed them and didn't even tell them what he was doing and revealed his glory to bring honor and didn't take credit for it. This is why we use in this church family a language called being naturally supernatural. Because we all in this room who have Jesus in our lives have the person of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have relationship with the Father. And many of you in this room, over 115 of you, have gone through our ministry school process. You have the goods, and you are called to go into the community and reveal the glory of our Father by doing miraculous signs and wonders just like Jesus did. And so we're going to share a couple of stories here of how we're doing that. So I'm going to invite Tamara and Sarah and Caleb up to the stage, and we're going to interview them a little bit and just hear how they are ministering to our community. So can we give these guys a hand as they come up here? Grab the microphone there, Sarah. Thank you. So these are three of, we have so many leaders in our church family, and I love how much leaders we have in our church. And so it's always hard to choose who to ask and who to interview because we have a lot of amazing people. But Tamara and Caleb and Sarah are doing things out in the community that's seen a lot of people come to know Jesus, as well as to reach unchurched individuals. Those are unchurched, we say, are those who don't know Jesus yet, or people who are not connected to a church family. And so I'm going to give this to you, Tamara. And so I'm going to ask you just, hey, what have you been up to, and what is some of the fruit that you're seeing here working with Garden Pathways this past several years?
Okay, cool. Well, good morning. I'm a youth mentor at Garden Pathways, and I have the privilege of walking alongside at-risk youth in our community and really seeing their transformation from week to week. So, I get to be in the community in that area of just sharing and listening and showing love to other kids. So, it's awesome.
And what age bracket are you predominantly focused on?
So we are working with junior high and high school students right now. Actually just expanded to five more schools in the last couple of months. So our caseloads have grown, and it's just more opportunity to share throughout the county.
So you're actually in Arvin. The schools.
Yes.
So you're showing up schools. On campus, mm-hmm. and the schools have allowed you on campus to build relationship with at-risk youth.
Yeah.
Can we just give the Lord a hand for that? That's amazing that educational systems are seeing that there is a need for something to be done differently than what's been done, all right? And so actually, we have a video that we want to share with you guys of a testimony of Tamara actually working with a young girl at risk. So if we want to show this video and share this with our congregation.
If I'm gonna talk about my story, I'm gonna motivate others. I want to inspire others. I want them to strive for more. I don't want them to stay stuck in a place. I want them to shoot for the stars. Yeah. I had soccer practice and I seen their vans. They had their Garden Pathways vans outside parked outside the school parking lot. And I was like, oh, like I'm gonna go talk to them. So I ran and I just literally got inside the van and I was like, hi. And I was like, my name is Eileen, like I want to know more about you guys.
So I came in as a new mentor and Arvin was my first campus. So it was cool how that was really our first interaction of, you know, her being kind of new in the group and me being new in the group. I think that connection kind of started from the beginning of my journey. I'd heard her whole story about, you know, approaching our staff in the van and just really having this desire to learn.
Went from Dodger Elementary School from my sixth grade back to Mountain View Middle School, seventh grade year. I was bullied a lot there. Most of the time I was crying. I would eat my lunch various times in the restroom because I didn't want to be outside. I only had one friend and that one friend never defended me. So it was like I was alone. I had tried to commit suicide 3 times and here I am. And I'm very happy that I'm here.
There have been times where Eileen and I have been able to connect one-on-one and she's been able to open up to me and really trust me. And I think that trust is super key for our youth.
There's this certain conference that they had and this inspiring talk that made me want to say something about what had happened to me. I was under the influence and I got raped and I told her this and we talked about it.
I know when Eileen had opened up to me and shared that day about what happened, I knew my heart was for her to feel accepted, for her to feel like no matter what, that she has someone to talk to.
Talking about it and telling her without feeling judged made me feel like I wasn't going to die, like I wasn't going to overwhelm myself, like I wasn't going to mentally break down every day now because it would affect me and I wouldn't talk about it.
So much easier, I think, than we realize of just the impact of encouragement, the impact of consistency. The impact that that makes in our students is really amazing. And that trust takes time. Through trust and through consistency, we're seeing our students really opening up and really going for their dreams. So it's amazing to see that.
There's so many times that you wish somebody could tell you, like, talk to us so they can listen, so you can be heard. And that's something that they would do a lot. I feel like these relationships that I have built with them are gonna give me more strength to my life and are gonna manage to pull me through and open more doors for me.
Amen. So what I love is just her story, just sharing, I was alone. I didn't feel accepted. And just by building a friendship, right, you're impacting people's lives. So I'd love to know from you just one thing, Tamara. What as you've been not only in this story but other kids that you're working with, what's one thing that has impacted you in seeing God's love pour through you?
I've really been inspired by how easy it is to create a safe environment and how through a safe environment, kids can really open up. So for me, I really have focused on creating that safe space and really praying over our room. And from there, our students are able to open up and share their experiences with someone that they can trust. But not only that, we're able to maintain relationship throughout the year. So we're able to walk them through that healing journey. So being able to see Eileen experience through ups and downs, be able to see her share even about faith or ask for prayer in different certain circumstances too, where the Lord just led our encounters with the students. So it's awesome.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. We're really proud of you, Tamara. We love you. We love what you're doing, and we love the ministry that she works with, Garden Pathways. And so if you guys want to get more involved with what they're doing, I put there the office number as well as their website and their social media. And so they're looking for more mentors. It's just a commitment of 1 hour a week just to love on someone, whether it's youth or adults. And so let's get out in the community and let's love Bakersfield. Amen. So thank you, Tamara. If you want to hand the microphone to Caleb. So Caleb's good to see you, man. And I know you've been all over the world this summer, but Caleb has planted a church on the CSUB campus. So why don't you share with us a little bit about what you've been experiencing this past year and just loving people and loving college students who are your peers.
Yeah, so a year ago, so if you don't know what Runners Campus Church is, 1 year ago I transferred from BC to CSUB with the intention to start a church on the campus. The entire idea behind it was, you know, instead of inviting all my friends to church and them not come, I'm just going to just bring the church to them and force them to come through that methodology right there. And so over the past year, honestly, it has been anything but expected. I mean, God has just been just really just like blowing my expectations of what he can do when we're just obedient to share the gospel. And, you know, there's lots of things that have been really impactful to me. And I think mostly it's just been able, I've been able to see the hunger that people have, even though that they don't know God. And do you mind if I share kind of a testimony of that?
Yeah, please do.
So in the past year, when we're doing Runners Campus Church on the CSUB campus, there was a time where we wanted to do an outreach, right? Where we could just share the gospel, get new leads, just share the love of God to people. And so then we had the brilliant idea to buy 600 Buffalo Wild Wings and then just give them away for free. And then whoever comes to get the free Buffalo Wild Wings, we'll just share the gospel with them, right? Because if I know anything about the gospel, Buffalo Wild Wings is the way to get people saved. Can I get an amen, church? But anyway, so we had this outreach on the campus, and God was just in it all the way. We had a wonderful leadership team who was just dedicated to it. We fasted almost 40 days as a leadership team leading up to the event, just hungry to see God move. And we bought the Wild Wings, and God was just in it all the way. When we bought the Wild Wings, it was $402.19, and the day of the event was $402.19. So God was in it, you know, all the way, right? And so we just funneled in all these college students. We just stuffed them in a room. We had a worship band. It was like the service. We had someone just preach the simple gospel. That it was not it was not a dynamic message. It was just the pure, just dividing gospel that Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for you to have forgiveness of sins. And we just said, who wants to follow him, right? And so we had a couple of people raise their hand, make a first-time decision to accept Jesus. And then after we had some people accept Jesus for the first time ever, we said, well, who wants to be baptized? And then we had someone come up and they said, I want to be baptized. They walked up in front of the entire room saying, I want to be baptized. And then from that, two other people came up and said, you know what? We also want to be baptized. And so then we're here on CSUB like at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night with three people saying they wanted to be baptized. And then we said, we have no idea where to baptize you at. I don't even know why we asked who wants to get baptized. We had no plan, no plan at all what to do. So we just said, like, where's the nearest water at? And then we were talking about it, and they said, you know what? The Edwards Theater Fountain, that's pretty close to here. Maybe we should just go over there. And then I was thinking to myself, well, we can't like jump the fence over here and go into the pool, like we'll get kicked out or something, or we'll get hurt. And I was like, I actually think that's our best option. And so all of us, we just left, like we had a big group of like, I don't know, it was probably like 40 people at that point because it was already going later into the evening. All of us rushed over to Edwards Theater. We all started gathering around the fountain. We all started hiking up our jeans. At this point, there were so many people excited about getting baptized. It went from one person to three people to five people wanting to get baptized for the first time ever. And then we were hiking up our jeans and everything, and we were like taking off our shoes, taking off our socks, about to get in the water. And then the security guard there obviously sees a group of 40 people around the fountain taking off their shoes. And so he just says, what the heck is going on here? You guys realize you're not allowed in this fountain. And I was like, yeah, I do realize that now that you say that, sir. Thank you for pointing that out. But so this is the favor of God right here, if you're wondering what the favor of God is. So I told him, we just have some people here who accepted Jesus for the first time ever, and they are just so hungry for God that they want to get baptized. It's just going to be in and out. Like, it's going to be 30 seconds tops. And so then the guy tells me, he says, you know what? I'm just going to walk around right now, and whatever happens, happens. Okay? So that's the favor of God. That is the favor of God moving. Yeah, and so then we just all jumped in the fountain, five of us, we were able to baptize them, and then we all huddled around them, prayed for them. Like, there was a crowd gathering around just from people who just getting out of their movies, watching us just jump in the fountain, and then praying for people, and then people getting baptized by the Holy Spirit, getting wrecked. The security guard comes over, and then he's, like, also having a good time, even though potentially he can get in trouble for that. But, you know, we don't think about that part. But anyways, but, you know, all that to say that when we are obedient to share the gospel, I mean, man, people are hungry to receive it. Amen. I mean, people are hungry to receive the gospel. When Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are true, that is truth. That is truth, that the harvest is plentiful. And I've just been, my mind has just been just so blown, just experiencing God and just seeing him move on these people. And we've had, in the span of this year, we've had 8 people baptized and 5 other people on top of that accept Jesus into their lives for the first time ever in their entire life, accept Jesus and decided to follow him. And so I just wanted to just really say that if God is telling you to share the gospel, I mean, be obedient to it, because, man, God is on the move, and people are hungry to receive it, and it is just worth everything. It's worth the embarrassment. It's worth putting yourself out there. It's worth, you know, the dirty looks you might get every now and then. But when people just encounter God for the first time ever, and their lives are changed by it, and they become a new creation, I mean, it is just worth it, church. It is worth it.
Amen. So, yeah. Caleb, we love you. We're so proud of you. Can we give the Lord a hand for all of these salvations and baptisms? And so if you want to know more about what Caleb's doing, that's his phone number. cmorn@csub.edu is his email address. And so we're so proud of you, and I know we're really excited about this new semester that's starting up here. Sarah, so you are one of my favorite people on the planet, because I love your heart and your obedience to follow Jesus. And so you go after some unusual folk in the community, as well as you attract them too, which is awesome, because that's who you carry, and you love people that are on the fringe. And so I know that God's put something on your heart the past few weeks, especially as I shared about Isaiah 58 and really a window and a season of us to pursue the Lord. And so you've been going on the street. So can you just share some of your heart of what you've been experiencing as you love on people? And I know it's something that you shared with us in our conversation about low-hanging fruit, and just to help share with our congregation that, just as Caleb said, the harvest is really plentiful in this season.
Yeah, just something that the Lord has been like stirring up in my heart just the past couple of years is just to stop and notice what's around me. And like, how many times do we go to a grocery store or like whatever, and we don't stop and we don't look at people, you know? And there's, you never know where people are from. You never know what they're going through. And so ever since you started the fast, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And it's really scary for me because I'm an introvert. I don't like talking to people. It's really scary. So I take people like Jana or my husband, and I'm like, help me. But like a couple weeks ago, we went up to somebody, and it was probably like a 5-minute conversation, and I shared a testimony with them, and they accepted Jesus for the first time. And they were so excited, to just be asked, like, hey, do you want to follow Jesus? He was like, oh, yeah. Like, it was like, he just wanted people to ask him, you know? And, you know, this past week, there was somebody on the street, and I was like, he doesn't want somebody to talk to him, whatever. But we forced ourselves, Jana and I, to go up to him, and there was this kid, and I asked him, I was like, where are you coming from? And he was like, I just got out of jail. I'm stranded here. And he probably was like 19 or 20, and we just sat with him, and we just prayed over him, and we prayed over the destiny over his life, and it just kind of, he just started crying, and like, he just got like, just wrecked in the spirit, and like, he realized, you know, he needs to start following Jesus again, and like, you know, he left that place encouraged, and so that's what I'm doing. And also, like, I'm always just listening to God. I'm listening and I'm saying, God, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to call? Who do you want me to get coffee with? And there's certain people that the Lord has called me, you know, to meet with. And there's certain people that I'm meeting with. This one person that was incredibly abused by the church, incredibly, like the worst way you could be abused. And the Lord just said, be his friend and speak into his life. And so I've been getting coffee with him and hanging out with him. And the first time we hung out, you know, he just told me his story about how, he thinks the church is hypocrites. He just doesn't like the church. They did this and this and this and this to him. And I just looked at him and I was like, I'm so sorry that happened to you, and that should have never happened to you. And you could just see his heart just switch. You know, it took one person, one obedient person to say, hey, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And you could see his heart just switch in that moment, like, oh my gosh, not all Christians are like this. Not all churches are like this. And so just building relationships with people that have those stories, you know, and being obedient.
That's awesome. Can we just give the Lord a hand for what Sarah's doing? And so she's leading these groups on Friday evenings to go out on the streets. Would encourage you to get a part of that. And so I'm going to invite everyone to stand up at this time. We're going to dismiss our service. I know we're running a little bit late this morning. Why don't you guys stand up? And I just want, you know what? Why don't you, Caleb, I want him to pray over you guys, because I really am asking the Lord for an impartation of boldness to come on this church. Because when the first century church received the Spirit in Acts 2, you saw Peter, who had denied Jesus 50 days earlier, preach to thousands of people. And you may not be like Caleb, who is willing to go out on a street corner and preach the gospel. I don't even do that, okay? I'm a pastor, right? Caleb's got an anointing as an evangelist. That's what he's called to do. But we have Tamara, who has the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit inside of her, who's building relationships with kids. Sarah has the same Holy Spirit, who has to have others around her to help her get out of her comfort zone, right? And so there's all things that we have to overcome, fears, insecurities, and things for us to be able to stretch our faith, to stretch out and reach people that we would never reach unless we had courage and boldness to risk of losing face, to love people where they're at. And church, I know there's many of you that are doing this all over the time, every week. We don't get a chance to hear all of these different things. And so I want to say, I'm proud to be a part of the garden. I'm proud of what we have done. I am proud of what we are doing now. And as an exhorter, I'm exhorting our church family, there is more. There is more that God's asking us to do in this season, because there's more that he wants to bring. Let's lean into him. Let's be obedient to him. Let's lean into his voice, and let's share the love of God with people around us. So, Caleb, just pray over our church family this morning.
So if you could, it's on? Yeah, okay. So if you could put your hands out to just in a receiving posture if you're comfortable. So, Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much that you have given us the opportunity to be the ones who carry your good news, God. We thank you so much for giving us the privilege to be the ones who carry the gospel and to share the good news with those around us, God. And we just thank you that you allow us to be afraid, and that when we are afraid, you just fill us up again with boldness. So right now, God, I pray, and we all pray together right now, that dangerous, dangerous prayer,
yes.
God, to fill us with boldness.
Yes.
Fill us with boldness in Jesus' name. And I just pray for an impartation of boldness over everyone in this room, an impartation of favor over everyone in this room, just the gift of evangelism, the gift of love, to be able to love people wherever they're at, to be able to build new relationships with people wherever they are at. And yeah, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just for a heavier anointing over every single individual in this church for boldness to share your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Hey, church, before you leave, really quickly, I'm going to invite our prayer team to come up to the front. If you three want to come off the stage and come up here as well, if you want to talk to them about what they're doing and get connected, I'm going to invite you to come and talk to them after the service, as well as please come out next Sunday, support our youth as they go out, as well as we do have one word of knowledge. If you are here this morning and just are feeling a little bit alone and vulnerable and even spiritually uncovered, there was a word of knowledge specifically for those that may feel that way. Our team would love to pray for you this morning. If you need prayer for anything, please come up after the service. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Let's love people in our community this week. God bless you.